The following message is by Pastor Kennedy Kaseke, preaching at a Scripture Union meeting in Kitwe Boys High School.
I would want to share with you from the book of John. The book of John is the most theological book that I know in the New Testament. What I mean is a book that has a lot of teachings. Actually, this book talked more about what Jesus used to do when he was here on earth. And those of us who probably have heard the name Jesus, but we do not know who is this Jesus. This book of John can help you, and what kind of things he used to do, and why he was doing those things. That's why today I want us to actually look at three scriptures from John chapter 20, and I'll read from verse 27, then jump to 30 and 31. These scriptures are very important because they tell us the purpose why God allowed that the writers of this gospels, they pen down these things, these truths to us or for us. Verse 27 of John chapter 20, the Bible says, then saith he to Thomas, reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. In fact, that's where I'm getting my title, the title of this encouragement. I am saying this afternoon, be ye not faithless, but believing. Then let's go to 30 and 31. The Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is what I want us to share. Today I know if there is anything that is so common to us, especially as we walk through this life, is doubt and belief. We are uncertain over a lot of things. And I know you are about to begin to get into exam rooms. And most of us, if somebody walked to us and asked us to say, well, how many points do you think you are going to get? The answer will be uncertain. The answer will be full of doubt, because we do not know what will come out of the exams that we are going to face. The same applies even when it comes to the things of God, the spiritual things. If somebody comes to you and asks you to say, are you sure you are a child of God? Are you sure if you died today, you will go to heaven? Most of us, we cannot say affirmatively to say, yes, I'm sure. Even if as we are in this room, this roof crumbles down on us, I know for sure that I'm going to be with God. Most of us, we can't say that. And this characterizes the lives of many, both believers and non-believers. But this text before us can help us, brothers and sisters, to actually get to a level whereby we can be certain of the fact that if I die today, I'll be in heaven with Christ, I'll be in heaven with God the Father, if we do what the Bible is going to tell us. That's why today I want just to actually bring to you the fact that it is doubt or unbelief that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ who came to die for your sins and my sins, and he was buried and he rose on the third day, that will cause somebody either to go to hell or to heaven. There is nothing else. If there is anything that God is going to look at and say, you are going to go to heaven, you are going to go to hell, it is the fact of whether when you were here on earth, you heard the gospel about the fact that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. If you heard and you believed that, then God will take you to heaven. If you didn't hear, or you heard and doubted it, then God will have all the legal rights to take you to hell, to burn forever. That's why this story that we have read, it was a story when Jesus had walked over this face of the earth for many years, and he came to the conclusion of the task that he had come here on earth for. That is to die for sinners like you and me. And after he had died, like he had promised to say, on the third day, I will rise from the dead and you will see me before I go back to my Father where I came from. It was on the third day that Jesus arose, and after rising from the dead, he began to actually show himself to his disciples, so that when he lives, they won't doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. So there was one time he appeared to the disciples, and Thomas was not in their midst. And after Jesus had gone, and Thomas came to the other disciples, and they began to narrate to him to say we saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He is risen. Thomas failed to believe that. That's why in verse 27, the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared the second time. And fortunately enough, Thomas was in that group. And when Jesus went there and he began to tell him to say, Thomas, come, touch my fingers where the nails actually went through. Touch my side, which was pierced and blood came for the sins of the whole world. Touch it so that you may believe, because probably you believe that seeing is believing. And Thomas walks there. Probably I can imagine he was shaking. He thought maybe the Lord had looked down on him and he touched where the nails had gone through. He touched the side and he was convinced to say it was the Lord Jesus Christ who had risen from the dead. And then Jesus turns to him and says, be you not faithless, but believing. That's why this afternoon I want to encourage you that as you live your life here, whether as a believer or not, God wants you not to live it in a faithless kind of a way or in a doubtful kind of way, but to be believing in God. And particularly here, Jesus was saying, Thomas, you must not be faithless, but believing in me as the Savior of your soul, as the God who came to die for your sins, and I'm risen, like I said, so that you may believe in me. So this is what Jesus did. And most of us, we can begin actually to begin to say, Thomas was useless. How could he have been moved with Christ for some years? And when Jesus died, he had even said, I'll rise on the third day. And when Jesus rises and is being told, and he actually doubts that. But most of us, that's how we are. We doubt what the Bible says. We doubt what God has said in his word about his son, Lord Jesus Christ. Even Thomas is better, because it was not God directly talking to him to say Jesus is risen. It was his fellow disciples. He could doubt them because they were mere human beings. But for us, it's God who has penned down this word about his son, like we are going to see, to say he sent him to come and die for your sins, because you are a sinner and God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to die in that state, because you go to eternal death. But when God says that, most of us, we begin to doubt that. Do you see how serious it is? And it is that which will determine whether you go to hell or whether you go to heaven. So in this book of John, you'd find that the whole book, Jesus spent most of his time actually doing signs and wonders, which we like. Most of us, even in these last days where we are living in, we are able to trust anyone who comes up and does any miracle or any sign. We are able to follow those as men, super apostles. Jesus did the same in his time. He knew that most of the people who failed to believe. So he spent the last of his time on earth doing signs and wonders that will help you and me to believe that for sure Jesus was the Son of God. And just in the book of John, we find 7 signs which Jesus did to help you and me to believe. The first one is found in actually John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we are told about Jesus was invited to a wedding in Cana, and he turned actually a big quantity of water into good wine. And everyone actually was puzzled. And the Bible says this was his first miracle. Then in John chapter 4, we find another miracle. There was this official who came to Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was able to heal. He had heard that Jesus was able actually to make the blind see. So this official, he had a son who was sick. He traveled a long distance to come to Jesus, to plead with him, to go to his home and heal his son. And when he came, Jesus said, "You, why can't you just believe my word? I want to tell you that your son is healed. Go back, you find him healed." And this man went back. When he reached there, he asked his servants to say, "What time did my son get healed?" Guess what? It was the very, very moment when Jesus said, "Your son is healed." And he believed those words, and it was so. That's the power of believing in the word of Christ. The third miracle or the sign is the sign of healing of a 38-year old man who was lame beside the pool, where they were sitting all those who were sick with all kinds of sicknesses. They were sitting around that pool. There was something special about that pool. It is believed to say an angel could come time and again and steer the waters, and when he does that, the one who went in first would be healed. But this man was there for 38 years, unable to move and throw himself there because he was badly crippled. And Jesus comes to him and he asks him to say, "What's your problem?" And he begins to complain. And Jesus told him to say, "Take your mat and go home." And the man believed. And guess what? Immediately he rose and went back home. That's the power of believing the word of Christ. That was the third sign. Then the fourth miracle is the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. There were a lot of people that came to actually listen to the gospel preached by Christ. And as they came, Jesus looked at them. They were hungry. And he actually told them to sit. He told the disciples. He tested them to say, "What are we going to give them?" And they began to say, "No, we just have a little money," and stuff like that. And Jesus said, tell them to sit down. And he performed a miracle. He fed 5,000 plus. And there were a lot of things that remained. Then the fifth miracle was when Jesus told the disciples after that event in chapter 6. He told them to say, "Go, I'll find you. I want to remain and pray by the mountainside." And as they went on the waters, there were some waves that came, some storms, and they saw Jesus coming, walking on water, something that had never happened. And they looked and they said, "There comes the ghost." And they were panicking that they were going to die. And Jesus came and said, "It is me, believe." And he got in the boat. That was the other sign. Then the sixth sign that Jesus did was the healing of the man who was born blind in John chapter 9. And when the disciples were with Jesus, they began to ask him out of curiosity to say, "What happened? Who sinned? Is it his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "No, it is for the fact that the glory of God would be glorified through this situation." Because Jesus knew that this man would be healed. And what did he do? He just spit on the floor. He made some mud and put it in his eyes and told him to go and wash his eyes. And he began to see. And when this man was asked to say, "Who did this?" he said, "I don't know." And they said, "Maybe he's a sinner. How can a sinner do a good thing like this?" And that man later on met Jesus and believed in Christ. And the last miracle, the climax of the seventh miracle, which is found in John chapter 11, is the healing, or is the raising from the dead of Lazarus. A beloved to Jesus, Jesus was trying to show that he has power to actually get you from the dead. If you die in faith, you die having received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, like he did to Lazarus, he has power to actually call you forth to life and live forever. So there were many there who actually came, Jews and Pharisees, all kinds of people, people who believed and people who didn't believe. They wanted to see what had happened, and Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Just imagine, 4 days. Said that even his sisters, when Jesus attempted to go, they wanted to hold him back, and he told them, just believe. Because I am the resurrection and the life. And he went there and he called Lazarus forth to life. And Lazarus came back to life. And the Bible says many people believed in Christ Jesus. Even us, besides what the Bible has given us, there are so many things that God has done in our lives that should cause us actually to believe in Christ as our Lord and our Savior. That's why in this faith the Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, the 7 ones that we have talked about, and others are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You know, I want to encourage you. If there is anything that will take you to heaven, like I said, it is believing in Christ as the Lord. Jesus as the Lord. Jesus is his personal name. His personal name. And Christ means the anointed one, the one who was given the ability to come and die for your sins and mine. For we cannot do that. We are sinners worthy of eternal death, worthy of eternal damnation. We cannot save ourselves. God knew that. That's why in John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to come and die on the cross, that if you and me would believe in him as our Christ, somebody who is anointed to actually save us from our sins, then we will be able to be saved. If you and me would believe in the facts, the historical facts of the fact that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, and apply that to your life by believing and repenting of your sins, speaking to God, asking him to forgive you of your sins, God will forgive you and he will make you his child. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, as many us believed in him, we are given the power to become children of God, to become sons of God. Not as many as we are going to church, as many as God's good grade 12 results, as many as we are handsome, as many as we are coming from rich families, but as many as believed in Christ Jesus, we are given the power to become sons of God. That's why when you look at the word believe, it means acknowledging something, acknowledging or putting your confidence and trust in Christ. Quickly, let me share with you a story of a great man. He was known, actually, this man has broken the record over the years. His name was Blondin. This man was called a tight rope walker. He could walk on a tight rope. And just not walking on the tight rope in air, but just imagine if you have been to Victoria Falls. There is Niagara Falls in America. So this man, over the ages, they would put a rope, a tight rope, and this man could walk literally on that rope. And people came in big numbers actually to watch this great man who was walking on a tight rope. Me, if you actually put even this desk, I'll be able to fall on the side. But this man, on a very tight rope, is walking there. It is said to say one time he actually walked on the rope with a stove and he was cooking an egg there. And walking, he crossed and people were cheering to say he is a great man. And that another time he walked through that rope at night. It is dark, but he was able to walk through that rope. But one time as people were cheering him, one time he actually walked with a wheelbarrow on a rope. This is a true story. He walked with a wheelbarrow on the rope, and as he was walking to the other side, people were cheering, "Oh, he's a great man, he's a great man." And when he reached the other side, everyone was cheering, and he told them to say, "Do you believe that I can actually carry something in this wheelbarrow and walk through the rope?" And everyone said, "Yes, you can do it. You have already shown us." And then he actually pointed at one person to say, "If you believe it, can you come and sit in the wheelbarrow and I'll walk through the rope?" And guess what happened? Guess what happened? Everyone ran away. No one could sit in that wheelbarrow and actually allow this man, whom they believed in, to say he was a great man. He could walk on a tight rope. So Blondine ended up not carrying anyone in his wheelbarrow to the other side. But I want to encourage you that if you believe in Jesus, he has carried many across from death to life. He has carried many from hell to heaven. And he will be able to carry you if you trust in him, that he will be able to carry you in that wheelbarrow of life and walk through the valley into the into heaven. He's able to do that. If you cannot trust and believe Blondin, it's fine. It's fine. He's just a man. He's a mere man like me. But you can trust Jesus, the one who died for your sins, because you are a sinner. And if you continue in that sin, you will die and go to hell. His desire is that you may come to the realization that he did it for you there on the cross, as he hung and he said, "It is finished." Yes, he meant it. All you have to do is to trust in him as your Lord and Savior. And if you believe, you will be able to get in his blood and confess him as his, your Lord and Savior. And he will carry you through. He has never disappointed any in this life. I have trusted in Jesus, and I know he has carried me over from death to life. I know he has carried me over from doubt to believing. And today he wants to carry you over, my brother, from doubting to believing him as one who can save you from your sins. So as I conclude, the Bible says you must do so in his name. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "There is no other name given here on earth in which this man should be saved except in the name of Jesus Christ." That name means authority. He has the authority to save you. He has the power to save you if only you would believe in him. I am begging you, my brother and my sister, if you have not taken time to believe in Christ, this could be the time, a grand opportunity for you to take a moment and reflect. Check your life. Is Jesus living in your life? Are you in his boat of life? Are you safe? If not, my brother, this could be the time. Make sure that you don't walk out of this door. You can go to Mrs. Peary. You can go to Pastor Sandy. You can go to these pastors who are at Bible school. Ask them, "How can I receive Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior?" And I believe they will be glad, more than glad, to help you, to point you to Christ. So that even as you walk here on earth, as you face exams, you will be able to face them in Christ. You will be able to face them knowing that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You will not look at exams as mistakes that comes your way. You will look at exams as something that God has planned for you. And he wants you to glorify him by facing them. So even the way you face them, you won't face them by taking wreckages or using any shortcut. You will be able to desire to work hard and actually face them in such a way that after you have gotten good results, you'll be able to actually stand in front of many that believe in Christ and say, "Praise God, God gave me wisdom to study hard. God gave me the grace to pass." and people won't be saying Christians are dull people. People won't be saying Christians can go nowhere, because you will be a cream of Christians. Jesus can save your life. So I encourage you, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus is saying, do not be faithless, but be believing. I went with the hymn writer who wrote this song that inspires me about what we have said. His name is James. He said, oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he has made me free. He that believes, mark that word, on the Son, says he, has everlasting life. He that believes in the Son, says he, has everlasting life. Surely, surely, I said to you, surely, surely, message ever knew the gospel. He that believes on the Son, it's true, has everlasting life. Have you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You won't be saved by going to church. You won't be saved by being a good person. It's faith plus nothing that saves. Faith plus nothing in Jesus Christ. That's what saves men and women. Not being a good person. Making it in life. By the way, what will it cost you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Yes, all these things, exams are good, but there is something that is perfect. The destiny of your soul. And you can take care of that by believing in Christ Jesus as the one who came to die for your sins, was buried and rose again for you. And if you do that, if you believe in him, you will repent of your sins and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And you will do so.
The message you just heard was by Pastor Kennedy Kaseke preaching at a Scripture Union meeting in Kitwe Boys High School.